Watch as warnings and advisories are in effect stretching from Phoenix to Seattle, where meteorologist Nikki Nolan says it feels like midsummer.
Temperature highs can be anywhere from the mid-90s all the way up to 120 in some areas, such as San Diego or even Las Vegas.
We'll likely know by tomorrow if the judge in Hunter Biden's tax evasion trial will accept a plea deal, attorney Robin Nunn tells us.
It would be in the best interest of Hunter Biden's team if this was to result in a plea.
Prosecutors say he failed to pay over $1 million in federal taxes and filed fraudulent tax returns. Holiday shopping already?
I know it sounds early. I actually think it's a good thing because it gives people more time to find the best deals and spread out their cash flow.
Bankrate's Ted Rossman says almost half of us plan to start by Halloween. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden in Westby today to hear from people about how they've benefited from his administration's Investing in America agenda. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez.
We were able to bring Microsoft in the Racine Kenosha area. That's fantastic for Wisconsin to have that type of tech hub. You're going to see a lot more of this.
The president is visiting the Blue Wall battleground states of Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan this week. Conditions at Wisconsin's youth prisons are improving. A new report shows Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake schools are meeting most court-ordered improvements. Those include fewer restraints and no more strip searches. The state plans to close both lockups and build a new youth prison in Milwaukee by 2026. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Friday, September 6th, in Wood County, the Judicial and Legislative Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. There will be two special commission meetings of the Waterworks and Lighting Commission in their conference room. The first begins at 8 a.m. and the second at 1 p.m. They'll be going into closed session to conduct interviews for the position of general manager. In Adams County, the Administrative and Finance Committee will meet from 9 to 11 a.m. at the Adams County Courthouse. The Wood County Clean Sweep is happening this Saturday. It'll be at the Saratoga Town Hall and Garage on September 7th from 8 a.m. to noon. Materials need to be properly identified in their original containers with original labels. Each household may bring up to and no more than 5 gallons of liquid or 50 pounds of solid waste. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The NFL season begins tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Tonight, the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs kick off the season. Tomorrow night, it'll be the Green Bay Packers versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Head coach Matt LaFleur said that the team's focus has been on their opponent and not the travel.
We're focused on Philadelphia. The circumstances are such, and if you draw your attention elsewhere, then I think you're doing yourself a disservice. So we're going to keep our focus on Philly. It's a really good football team, and they've shown a level of consistency over the last couple of years that's tough to deal with.
Kickoff for the Packers and Eagles is after 7 p.m. tomorrow night. For the third time in four games, the Milwaukee Brewers had to play a game in extra innings, and in all three of those games, including last night, the Brewers lost. The St. Louis Cardinals took the game in 10 innings with a 3-2 win. The Brewers are off today before playing a three-game home series against Colorado this weekend. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and hazy tonight, lows in the mid-50s. A mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, a high near 60. With sunshine, it warms for the weekend, high upper 60s Saturday, mid-70s Sunday. heating up into the 80s next week. Right now it's 73.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin battles the Coyotes at Camp Randall. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we'll talk about the Green Bay Packers opening their season tonight in South America on a streaming service. We'll help make sure you can tune in.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, September 5th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two at 4:30, we're going to be joined by Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW Extension. Looking forward to that, and been looking forward to all week talking to our good friend, Caitlin Kessler, from the Wisconsin Beef Council. Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's hard to believe that we've gone through summer grilling season, and we're already back to school.
It is crazy. We are, as a community and as families, getting right back into things.
We really are. And we know that this is a really busy time of year, whether it's for families, the kiddos. I think both parents and the kids alike are feeling a little bit of that drag. We've left that flexible summertime schedule, and now we're in more structure, and a lot of kiddos may be in sports. And so it's a good time of the year to start re-looking at our nutrition habits and our goals. I know a lot of us didn't get those New Year's resolutions, but I think back to school is another great time for us to look at our nutritional balance, because it's really important for us to keep our bodies and our minds going.
Yeah, it's a really good point, Caitlin. And one thing that I will make it very clear, I am a beef lover. I love beef and love meats and everything. But I, like some people, I've kind of, you know, gotten used to eating beef my whole life and everything. And sometimes we forget. It's a nice reminder about the nutrition habits with beef.
Absolutely. You know, it's not just that delicious option that we love, but it does have those essential nutrients. It's a great source of, we say, zinc, iron, and protein. And that protein is really crucial for muscle development and repair. Like we said, a lot of kiddos might be going into sports, or even our younger kiddos. I have a niece who's almost 4 years old, and she is tearing it up on the daycare playground each and every day. So I want to make sure I keep her growing muscles going strong. It's also rich in iron, and that is one of the key nutrients that helps carry oxygen in the blood and keep our energy levels up. So if you need a little bit more boost in energy, turn to some of those iron-rich foods like beef. It also has those B vitamins, which is also important for brain health and your energy. And I know I find myself guilty of stocking up on my protein at night. You know, there's a reason why we say beef is what's for dinner. But we also want to keep that protein balance spread throughout the day. Make sure that you're getting your grams of protein at breakfast, getting your protein at lunch, and at dinner to keep your body going throughout.
It feels like not only a fun activity, but a great way to keep this up is finding different ways to incorporate it in your breakfast or your lunch, and you know, certainly with dinner, but maybe even spreading it out throughout the day.
That's right. In fact, just yesterday, my coworker and I, we call her the beef lady, Angie, we worked on some recipe videos for kiddos. And so one of them was a beefy egg, kind of like a breakfast muffin, but it was very simple to create. We're going to have that recipe video coming out soon, but you can always find it at beeftips.com. That's our website. And if you click on the As Seen on TV page, you'll see all those recipes that Angie is going around and currently featuring. And that includes collections like 30 minutes or less, your kid-friendly fares, pretty much anything that you would need to help get you through this school year.
It's a great site. I encourage you to check it out. I have it bookmarked, and I check out those recipes all the time. You have to tell me when you release that one. That sounds amazing. That sounds amazing, Caitlin. That sounds really good.
It's always a good day in the office when Angie says, okay, let's do some recipe videos.
I don't make light of your job. I imagine there's a million things you guys do over there that I don't know about, but it is awfully something to be envious of.
I am very fortunate. I tell people that all the time. When I get to share the stories of farmers and ranchers, enjoy the fruits of their labors by eating their beef, I don't know if there's a better job in the world out there.
It really seems like it. One other thing that I think is really important when we're talking about including more beef in your diet or spreading it into different meals or different parts of the day is the health benefits that beef offers.
That's right. You know, we talked about that zinc, iron, and protein, those essential nutrients, and it's important for us to start building those good habits at a young age. We talked about how it's back to school, and nutrition is important throughout our life, but building that strong foundation of diet variety, nutrient density, and healthy habits during childhood and adolescence is really going to help establish that foundation for the future. And when we look at our adolescents, it is especially important that they are getting the nutrition that they need. I didn't realize this until one of our contractors to the Beef Checkoff, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, did some research, and they found that 10 to 19-year-olds gain 15 to 20% of their final adult height and 40 to 50% of their adult weight during that time. And bone mass also increases by 40%. So obviously, we need to be fueling these growing bodies. I hear stories of those adolescent boys raiding the refrigerator and kind of being a bottomless pit when it comes to eating, and we can see why. And so that's where we need to focus on these nutrient-dense foods. Beef and just a 3-ounce package has almost half your daily value. I should say almost half an adult's daily value of protein with that zinc and iron. So it truly is a nutrient-dense food that's also low in calories. Now, when we're looking at the dietary guidelines for Americans, these school-age children and adolescents are often falling short on getting those essential nutrients. And this is a stage of life, like I said, that's perfect to be teaching them about those healthy habits and looking at nutrition for energy, strength, and more. And it's also a time where our adolescents are getting a little bit more independent, right? Maybe they're making some more individual choices in the school cafeteria. Maybe mom and dad are trusting them to pick out some more items in the grocery store. We really want to make sure that we're reducing the risk of them having chronic health problems in their adulthood by forming these healthy habits now.
Yeah, everything comes with routine and reps. And the more you do something and the younger you can imply it and incorporate it in these kids' lives, the more likely they are to do it as adults. My kids are older and in the early to mid 20s. And my oldest is actually going to be having her first child soon.
Wow.
And I'm not bringing that up just so that I can bring that up. just because I'm excited about being a papa. It is really fun to brag about. It really is. But we've actually talked about this a little bit, her and I, and how important it is to her that she really implements this at a young age with her child. And not just beef, but having a good balance, having a good diet, and how important it is, the fuel that we put in our bodies and how much that matters. I think that we're having a great time here, and there's some fun stuff we're talking about, but I really hope that the audience heard you there about the dietary guidelines of Americans and how school-aged children or adolescents are oftentimes falling short of consuming these essential nutrients. There's an importance there that we need to get on and incorporate more into our daily diets here in America.
Absolutely. And, you know, they found that it's especially crucial for adolescent girls and women. They have that increased nutrient demand just based on their bodies, and they need that special attention. So it's important to be talking with our nutritionists if we have younger kiddos, you know, pediatricians, trying to figure out where that balance is. And I know you mentioned about your daughter having a baby soon. We do have this program called Beef in the Early Years. And that's where we worked with our pediatricians and dietitians and found that children as young as 6 months old can start consuming beef. You know, you can puree it just like you would any other baby food. And it's great for that cognitive development that growth of their bodies and mind. And one thing that's interesting, too, is as they continue to grow and develop, it even helps with their motor skills and function. So, you know, start with a baby 6 months old, that pureed beef. As they get a little bit older, cutting it up into smaller bite-sized chunks, and they're developing that pincer grip with their hands to be able to grab it and chew it. All those fine motor skills that we take for granted as adults, they're just starting to learn and develop. And there's even, through this beef in the early years, studies, some research into the psychology of consuming beef with your infants and toddlers, because when they're at the dinner table as a family and they see that they're being fed the same food as a family, and makes them feel more cohesive, more as part of a group. And that's something that, once again, it's beyond my understanding, but it's just incredible we can dive into that research and see how we can better improve their function physically and mentally.
Yeah, it's something that I think, especially with food, we immediately think of how it affects our body, our bones, our muscles, and all these things. It's always a nice opportunity to be able to bring up that this stuff affects our brains and our mental health and so much of that, too. And another great thing that you bring up that I think beef does and food does in general is bringing families together and giving us an opportunity to sit down and make eye contact and have a conversation. These crazy ideas that I have sometimes. But it gives parents another opportunity for that. Food brings us together, and man, you find something your kids like and you're making it for dinner, and soon enough you're having conversations with your kids along with not only making sure that they're getting all the nutrients they need at these young ages and everything, you're getting to talk to them, find out more about them, which not only helps their bodies but helps the mental health and gets you to know your kids better.
You're absolutely right. You know, there's a reason why we talk about the beef community, the beef industry, and we say together we bring more. And you hit the nail right on the head there, James, when we talked about togetherness of family. Just last night, I was visiting my brother and sister-in-law and my adorable niece and nephew, and that's what we did. We sat around the table with shredded beef sandwiches. I talked to them about what they did at daycare that day. We joked about one of them trying spicy barbecue sauce that they clearly did not like, and it was just that cohesive wholeness that we had. And you find that throughout the beef supply chain. Just before I got on the phone with you, I was chatting with a farmer that we're having an event with this weekend. And together, he's working with his dad and his uncle to be able to make sure that their farm continues going for another generation. They've actually been farming that same land for more than a century, which is incredible. Yesterday, I was talking with one of our meat processors over in Southwest Wisconsin. And once again, that's a community togetherness where she's working with her husband and their family to continue providing that retail outlet for consumers to be able to go in, meet their local butcher, and buy those products to enjoy at the dinner table just like we did last night. So it really is incredible how food can be a foundation for those conversations.
We're speaking with our friend Caitlin Kessler from the Wisconsin Beef Council right now. And Caitlin, if you don't mind, I wanted to go back a little bit and really hit home the importance of incorporating some of these habits at a young age with children.
Absolutely. You know, working with the Wisconsin Beef Council, of course, I want to say get that protein, get that red meat on your plate. But we want to look at balanced diets that are rich in a variety of foods. So when I grew up, we still had the food pyramid. And that's when, you know, we had the big wall with grains at the bottom, and then it worked its way up. Then they switched the pyramid to being vertically, and now they have My Plate, which truly shows that balance with your fruit, your vegetables, whole grains, and, of course, sources of protein like beef. And the Dietary Guidelines for Americans recognizes that lean meat, including beef, can help support that healthy lifestyle. Now, some folks might be saying, okay, how do I get lean meat? What does that mean when I'm shopping in the grocery store? With ground beef, it's pretty easy to find. You know, your 90% lean meat is going to be a little bit more expensive. So if you do want to go with some of those fattier grinds, you could always drain the fat after you're finished cooking or even rinse that ground beef to get it to be more of a lean blend there. If you're looking at your different cuts or roasts that you want to make for families, look for things that end in loin, so like sirloin, tenderloin, and round. Those are going to be your lean cuts, eye of round, round steaks, things like that. Other ways that you can incorporate more lean meats into your diet are to trim visible fat that you see on the meat that you're cooking with. And we can even look at reducing some of our sodium that we're putting on our meat by cooking with a lot more herbs, spices, maybe even marinating with some of those citric juices, things like that that can really add to the flavor of the meat without adding a lot of extra sodium. So when we're looking at the nutrition that comes from lean meat and beef in general, protein, iron, zinc, choline, and B vitamins, they help those children build their healthy bodies and their brains. And as we said before, if we have that poor nutrient intake during childhood and adolescence, that can lead to bad habits later in life, but can also lead to growth and learning challenges. We want to see our children thrive. We want to see them have proper physical development. We want to see them have great academic performance. We're just starting a new academic year, so why not start them off great with some great beef and immune function, which is incredibly important. I don't know about you, James, but whenever I visit my niece and nephew, I always seem to walk away with a head cold that they brought home from daycare.
Yes.
So anything that I can do to help increase their immune function and help my immune function so that I can continue going to work, they can continue learning at daycare is great in my book.
It's a wonderful point, Caitlin. That's a really good point to bring up. It hits home. I guarantee that everybody in the audience just was nodding their head. Yes, we know exactly what you're talking about. And at this age, it's not only a great idea to do, but at this age as well that we're talking about here, and it could be a variety of ages, really, if we're talking tweens or teens, one of the hardest things to get, no matter what the child is or age they are, is focus. And it can be so difficult. And most kids want to be able to focus. They have a difficult time doing it. Having a routine, having these things incorporated into their diet can help with focus as well, among so many other things. It's important to keep in mind. And while we're talking about tweens and teens, all you parents out there, I myself included, we can always have a smarter diet and a better diet too. Kids learn from watching us. Their brains are sponges. If they see us having a good diet, if they see us incorporating these things, they're more likely to do it.
Absolutely. We always joke around with our little ones, monkey see, monkey do. And whenever we do our outreach with our school groups, we do a lot of work with fourth graders when they do farm to school events. And that's one thing that I tell them is I ask them, what's protein good for? And they always flex their muscles, you know, and I say, absolutely, protein is great for building those muscles, but it's also good for keeping you feeling full, which helps you stay focused. Stay focused on your tasks, stay focused in your classroom, and stay focused on your goals in life. And these can really be a great part of that. If there are any folks out there that have questions about beef, whether it's the cooking times and temperatures, the nutrition involved in that, we do have all that information at beeftips.com. So you can search through those resources that we have there. We have the accredited sources at the bottom in case there's any additional research that you would like to do for yourself. And as much as I want to keep people at beeftips.com, because that's our Wisconsin Beef Council website, we do have a national website called beefitswhatsfordinner.com. And that's where you can search for your cut. Let's say you're digging in your freezer for supper tonight for the family once they get home from school. You pull out a cut of beef and you don't know what to do with it. You can search by cut at beefitswhatsfordinner.com and it'll pull up recipes that are directly associated with it. It'll also tell you where that cut comes from on the animal and a little bit more fun facts and information behind it.
And Caitlin, as much as I have really enjoyed this conversation, I can't stop thinking about that recipe you brought up earlier. It sounded so good. I'm looking forward to that. And we want to encourage people to check out other recipes that you guys have promoted and put on the website.
That's right. So if you go to beeftips.com, check out right away when you pull up that homepage, you should see Back to School with Beef. And that's where we have our recipe right now that Angie is featuring. So we have our beef and cheese tortilla towers, which we just tried making yesterday, and that's going to be a lot of fun. Italian beef meatball sandwich rolls, lazy beef lasagna, five-way mini meatloaves, and then we also have that breakfast recipe that I talked about, the beef sausage and egg muffin cup. So keep an eye out. You can find those on our website. You can also follow us on social media, and we'll be sharing those recipe videos there.
And Caitlin, before we wrap up, we do want to let everybody know that also for schools, you guys have done something very cool.
We've done a lot of work with our beef resource guide. And so this is a tool for our school food service staff out there to be able to incorporate raw beef products if they wish to do so in their school lunch menu. So a lot of times our school food service staff are working with pre-browned products, which is great. We love that they have beef on the menu. But this beef resource guide is a way for our school food service staff to work with farmers and to be able to purchase that beef directly or from our local processors and do some batch recipes that way. And this summer, we worked with Chef Irene Polish, and she helped us even create some educational videos that are going out to school food service. She talks about different ways to batch cook that brown beef so it's feasible in school districts of any size, and even showcase some amazing recipes. We taste tested them. They included stir fry, smash burgers, meatballs. They were phenomenal. I loved the school food I had growing up, but I tell you what, if those recipes were on my school lunch menu, I don't think I would have left the cafeteria.
No. I'm not going to leave my kitchen as soon as I get done with this interview. This is a great time. Great talking with you, as always, Caitlin. Want to encourage people to go to the website, beeftips.com, to find out more information from the Beef Wisconsin, from the Wisconsin Beef Council. And Caitlin, is that where we want to send them if they have more questions for you or want to reach out to you personally?
Absolutely. Visit beeftips.com, check out the About Us page, and you can reach out to any one of us. We're a small but mighty staff of four. Cammie, Angie, myself, and Grace would be happy to answer any of your questions.
Really appreciate the time, as always, Caitlin. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, James.
We'll talk again real soon. Again, that website, beeftips.com, beeftips.com. Be sure to bookmark that and keep that up to date on your schedule and looking into that and your recipes and everything. It's a great website. Check it out, everybody. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Hey there. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I have got some credit card news. My favorite agency, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, they recently looked at credit card offers from lenders that were big and small, and boy, oh, did they find a difference. No matter how good your credit is, small local banks and credit unions offer lower interest rates. I mean, like 8 to 10% lower. The CFPB says that if you have credit under 620, large banks these days are probably going to offer you an APR of around 29%. That's brutal. And small banks and credit unions are coming in just over 20%. Got a credit score of 720 or better? Some smaller lenders are doing 15% APRs. Big lenders are in the low 20s. Now, of course, paying your card off every month is the best way to avoid paying interest. But I sure do like knowing that local cards have cheaper rates. For more money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Milwaukee County leaders are considering ways to save an iconic Wisconsin landmark that needs a lot of TLC. A group called Friends of the Mitchell Park Domes is proposing a six-year rehabilitation project in two stages. The work would cost more than $100 million. The group wants Milwaukee County taxpayers to pay $30 million of that. Be on the lookout for scams this election season. Bad actors are after your money, polling information, and personal data.
If they are pressuring you in any way to donate right now to them before you really have time to think it through and do research and see if it's legitimate, or if they're pressuring you for specific personal information that a poller wouldn't ask for.
Meredith Radford is with the Better Business Bureau. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. People in Nakusa and the surrounding area have spoken, and County Trunk Highway AA will not be closed permanently. A meeting was held in late August at the Nakusa Community Center. Wood County Highway Department Commissioner Roland Hawk said the message was clear.
We got a pretty clear message that the folks in the area would like to see County Trunk AA remain open.
The culvert that Lynn Creek runs through on its way to the Wisconsin River is failing. Hawk said they want to replace it with a bridge. He's pursuing options to secure funding.
So we're looking at about $1 million project.
The earliest it could be added to the schedule is next year.
They understand that might take a little time, but we did get a clear message that they'd like to see it replaced and open up at some point here in the near future.
You can read the full article and see pictures at WFHR.com. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe, and I assumed he already had a star on the Walk of Fame news. Director Tim Burton received a star on the Walk of Fame. The director of Edward Scissorhands and Beetlejuice was surrounded by a support group, which included Danny DeVito, Winona Ryder, and Michael Keaton. Burton says the location was special because it was in front of the bookstore on Hollywood Boulevard, where he spent his childhood, oftentimes taking the bus from Burbank to roam the boulevard and dream. Cool stuff. Where would you be without info spilled on podcasts? During his Dinners on Me podcast, Modern Family star Jesse Tyler Ferguson told the story of his co-star Eric Stonestreet's love of what he thought was cheese. The cast of the show was in Paris shooting an episode for the 11th season. Ferguson said his co-star was wolfing down blocks of Parisian butter, thinking it was not only cheese, but according to Ferguson, the best cheese he's ever had. He even asked a server to keep it coming. The waiter did as asked and brought more cheese along with a stent. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and hazy tonight, lows in the mid-50s. A mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, a high near 60. With sunshine, it warms for the weekend, high upper 60s Saturday, mid-70s Sunday. Heating up into the 80s next week. Currently at 75 degrees.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Wisconsin DOT.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, political editor of Civic Media and Recombobulation founder Dan Schaefer joins us, and Todd Michaels with Ghost Stories.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, September 5th, 2024. I have your host, James, with you, and we are joined by our great friend, Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Laura, always good to see you.
It is so good to see you, too. Happy fall. I know technically it's not fall, but we're so close.
I love autumn, so that, yes, I'm good with that.
Those
go with
burr
it.
Months, they're
yes.
The best ones.
Oh, they are. Sweater weather coming up. Before we get too far ahead, I do want to rewind for a second with you. We were fortunate
fortunate to be at the Central Wisconsin State Fair. We had a booth down there. We had a great time, enjoyed ourselves. And I know you guys were down there too. How did it go?
Yeah, this year was a fabulous fair. Can I say, like, the weather was so fantastic. And so it's just a real highlight for 4-H, for FFA, and for all of the youth who participate in the fair. They look forward to it every year. They build new friendships. They learn so much from the judges. It's really just a phenomenal time. And if I can, the fair is actually one of the best ways that we can recruit for new members and things. It's my own story. Taking my young son before he started 4K to the fair, and he saw Lego projects with ribbons. Mm. So right now in the extension office, I'm getting the calls from people asking like, hey, how do I get my child involved in 4-H? Or the one I just got the other day was, hey, my 9-year-old just got a rabbit. Hmm. Is this something we can join 4-H for?
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, it's the beginning of a brand new year. The fair is just a fabulous way to cap off the last year, to highlight what the kids have learned, to celebrate all they've done, and then get them psyched up and ready for the next 4-H year.
It's so interesting you brought up the recruiting part of this and the idea of spreading 4-H and what you guys do there, because I haven't been to the fair in a while, and as soon as I showed up there, I saw llamas. Yeah. I saw animals, and I immediately thought of you in the 4-H, immediately, and thought, wow, this is not only a great way for people to learn about what 4-H does and how they're incorporated with our local fairs and some of these things, but the importance of this and what this brings to a community. I hadn't really looked at it from that perspective before, and it was really cool to be able to think about that, think about these kids, and not only them learning, but them getting to share that knowledge and those things, and teach people like me that some of these things. It's a really unique opportunity, and a big shout out to the Central Wisconsin State Fair, to all the kids that were there and parents and everybody that did such good work there. And those animals, shout out to those animals too.
They work hard too. Yeah.
You mentioned that this that the fair, as much as we love and enjoy it, it is kind of the wrap up of the year for 4-H. So as you're getting ready for a new year, what are some of the basics, Laura, that we can go over for the audience?
Yeah. So 4-H, what's it all about? I had a volunteer in the other day who actually said, you know, when I hear from a parent that says something like, wow, I wish that I had learned, the very first thing that this volunteer says is, you know what, then you should get your kids involved in 4-H, because all of the things that you wished you learned about as a kid, you can learn about as you're learning alongside your child at the very same time. And, you know, sometimes we focus so much on those individual pieces, like, well, this mom that just reached out saying that their daughter just got a rabbit. How can she learn about caring for her rabbit and showing her rabbit on all those things? Yes, she can learn all those things through 4-H. But what I think is more important is the other skills, kind of the soft skills that go along with those project pieces. So when I talk about 4-H, I talk about learning by doing. It's all hands-on. Kids get to choose what they learn about. So it's self-determination. What are the things that I'm most interested in, as opposed to what are the things that other people think I need to know? And then young people get to go as far as they want to in it. And so often they're just having so much fun making friends, meeting other people that can help them learn the things they want to learn, that they don't even realize all of the other skills that they're gaining along the way. And I think that's one of the greatest strengths in 4-H, regardless of if you're talking to teachers at school, if you're talking to parents, or if you're talking to the other volunteers. The adults around the youth can see the development that's happening, while the individual kids might not realize it at all.
One of the things that I enjoy about 4-H, and I am one of those adults that wishes I had been in 4-H, and will make darn sure that my oldest is got a child on the way, and this is the second interview in a row I brought it up, and I'm not going to apologize at all. I'm just excited, but I want that little one to be in 4-H like her mom and like others were and stuff. It's not only great for so many of the things, all the things you mentioned there, Laura. Mm-hmm. One other add on to that I think that is a very big similarity similarity between this and why we encourage, I encourage kids specifically to be involved in theater if they can, or that the confidence building this can have, and not just in public speaking or working with others and working with their peers and that, but the personal confidence that can be built from taking pride in something, whatever that project is, because it's so cool the way you do this, where kids get to follow, pursue their interests and the things that spark them. And once they start doing those things, learning more about it, maybe getting to explain it to an adult or another peer or something, they build confidence from that. And while we don't know what they might do in their lives, we know they could use some confidence in whatever it is they do. And 4-H helps build that.
Absolutely. Sometimes I think about it as, first of all, just learning how to try.
Yeah.
Because so often I think, first of all, I think that we are all our own worst critic.
Mm-hmm.
And we judge ourselves far harsher than anybody else judges us. But in 4-H, one of the things that we're always working on is just encouraging those young people to step out of the comfort zone and just try something. And it can be a great place to succeed, and it can also be a safe space to fail. Because if we teach our young people early on to be afraid of failure, they're never going to step out and try all of those things. They're never going to gain the confidence, because they're always going to be questioning their abilities. And you know what? When we teach our young people that it's okay to step out and for things to not go quite right, but then, you know, step out of that comfort zone again and try again, that's how they build confidence that's going to carry across, you know, all of the things in life. It isn't necessarily just, you know, I can be confident when I step on a stage, or I can be confident when I walk out with my cow or anything else. It's like, boy, I've failed before. I can try this too, in all sorts of different avenues.
Yeah, it's such a great point. Mm-hmm. It's something that I don't think about often enough, but giving kids a net to, mm-hmm. to be able to do, be on that high wire around, and there is a net down there.
Yep.
That is so important in life. And unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, as adults, we don't have that net very often. So give it to them while we can, and let them learn in these safe spaces and ability and build that confidence in these safe yep. areas.
I mean, so that's coming from an internal drive is so important. Instead of, you know, we don't, in adult land, we don't always have somebody coming up behind us and saying, okay, you can do it, bud, you can do it, or you need to take this next step. We need that internal drive. And I think 4-H and teaching that internal self-worth, that confidence, that's what's going to lead to that confidence and that, you know, stick-to-itiveness and everything in adulthood.
And to those out there that did attend 4-H as kids, or when they were young, or maybe they were the parent of a kid that did, there are always instilled the things that you love and cherish about 4-H, while it has also evolved and grown in many years. So to the other side of that, if you're, well, my child doesn't have any that big of an interest in farm animals or something,
right.
There is a thousand other things for your kid to do with 4-H.
100%. So, and the thing is as we are shifting gears and modernizing and opening up new opportunities, then we're also working with the fair all the time mm-hmm. too, so that young people can continue to find the fair a relevant example. But if I could just talk one, you know, We think about the world right now, and it's so digitized.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we as adults are like, oh my gosh, what a shame. Mm. But I've got a couple of 4-H'ers that they're young ladies in high school, but they've started their own businesses. And wow. Now if you would see the TikTok videos that they create to market the products that one crochets and one makes earrings, but the videos that they're developing so that they can sell their product online. They are amazing skills. They're using their creativity. They're building income from it. It's like all of the things. And that's maybe not what we would have ever thought about 4-H, like what, teaching yeah. video production or any yeah. of that kind of stuff. Oh, those kids are on their phone. But what are they doing on their phones?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing stuff. And so we make space for this
yeah.
because we want to encourage this. Yes, kids might have learned how to crochet 100 years ago. They might be using it for different purposes today. So let's honor our roots, but let's grow that tree taller and wider, because this is how we make a change in the world, and this is how we stay relevant for today's young people.
Perfectly worded and a perfect example, Laura. Thank you for that. That was awesome. And a shout out to those girls, man.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's
good on them. That's so cool. It's another great thing that just talking to you, let alone being around the kids or learning more about 4-H, that is infectious. I just feel so good about the next generation when we're talking about these things. I have a lot of hope and a lot of faith in them. It's really cool to hear those stories. We're speaking with our good friend Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. One other thing I wanted to touch on, Laura, with this and getting your kids involved in 4-H, regardless of what their interests might be, even if they don't have necessarily an interest in some of these things, it is a great way to create empathy with our children and create a bond, hopefully a lifetime bond between them and our ag industry. And because no matter what they do, what industry they go into, going to be eating. They're going to want food on their table. And it usually, if not, you know, all the time, comes from our ag industry and our farmers, and creating more of an understanding of what our farmers go through and do. I grew up where I grew up, there's plenty of beef, there's plenty of farms and all that. But I grew up in the city and understood that my food was coming from these farms in northern, around surrounding Chicago and all that. But I didn't have much understanding until I moved out here. And my grandparents took me to a farm at like 5:30 in the morning. And I really got an understanding a little bit. And it just created a lifetime love of not only like farm animals, but the ag industry. And that was from a young age. And it took me a long time to still learn more and more about it. But while I don't work in that industry, I've got a lot of love and a lot of respect for the industry and what it does. I think that those things can go very far as well and create different sparks in them that we have no idea of.
You bet. And agriculture is critically important to the economy here, not in just the state of Wisconsin, but right here in Wood County. And it is such a diverse industry. You know, we think about farmers, and I think about fiercely independent people who have really incredible skills. They have so many skills just to be able to function on the farm. But what is the infrastructure around that's supporting it? So we need welders. We need, you know, truckers. We need researchers. We need, like, it is so broad. And one of the things that we can do in 4-H and in other youth programs is to build that independent spirit, that I can do it spirit, you know, all of the things. So then when they get old enough, when young people get old enough, they can really make a difference in the spaces that they want to make a difference in. And hopefully they can find a career right here in central Wisconsin, because one of the things that I think is terribly sad is to, you know, develop these incredible young people and then watch them think like, oh, there's nothing for me here, that they have to go elsewhere. But there is so much right here in central Wisconsin. They will help us build our communities into the future as well.
Laura, we've gotten people encouraged about 4-H and a whole new year of 4-H activities. How can they enroll?
So a couple of pieces to think about is, first of all, like, how to find a club. We have two great clubs that meet here in the southern part of the county. So we have the Wittenberg Workers in Nakusa, and we have Snyder 4-H Club here in Wisconsin Rapids. Two great clubs with really different personalities. So one of the things I always talk with families about when they're trying to find a fit is, like, what are your kids interested in learning about? When are you available? Families are busy. So there's so many different ways to choose a club. What are their strengths? What are the club's strengths? What days do they meet? What nights what time do they meet? And even things like, where do you already have friends? People are able to join a club anywhere in the county, any place that's a good fit. And so rather than just jumping in and joining one, I encourage people to contact me first and let me learn a little bit more about your family so I can help you find a really good fit. Because every club is different, every family is different, and I really do strongly believe that we can find a great fit. And the best fit that we can find is going to make the best experience for not only the child, but also the family as a whole.
It's a really cool aspect of this, and I don't think we hear this with a lot of clubs. Most of it usually comes down to location or something like that. The idea of finding out a little bit more information about the kids and the parents being able to, you know, I as a dad, right away I thought of, well, I feel even more confident in doing this. Sure. Like, you know, hopefully you feel great about it no matter what, but it always adds to stuff when you're able to communicate and talk about this and figure out what's the best fit for your kid.
Yeah. What are they interested in learning about? What are their ages, right? I wouldn't want to put a five-year-old in a club that's full of high school students where, you know, that five-year-old is all by themselves and all of the kind of stuff. So, right, I work really hard to get to know families. I work really hard to get to know the personalities of the clubs and the leaders, right, so that we can all help each other to be as successful as possible.
Are there any age requirements or anything people like that that people should keep in mind when reaching out to you, Laura?
Yep, absolutely. So first of all, young people have to be in fifth or five-year-old kindergarten in order to be able to join. And then they get to stay through a year after their high school graduation, right? So we've got a really wide breadth. We've got public schoolers, we've got private schoolers, we've got homeschoolers, so there's no requirements there or restrictions there. And, you know, I think just a willingness to share. Sometimes I feel a little awkward, like asking private questions, like, yeah. Is it weird for me to ask you about how many children you have and what their ages are? I hope it doesn't feel that way, because really it's just me trying to connect you to the very best fit that I can. So
those are great questions, I think. And honestly, while I understand, you know, and every parent is different. Again, just speaking for myself as a parent, I want you to ask those questions. I'm glad you're asking those questions because it means you're engaged, you care, and my kid's going to find the right fit, the right club for them.
Yeah.
I think those are great questions and really insightful. Like, I actually really appreciate you sharing that with us. Did you do that? I think that's really unique and cool. Again, it just adds to finding the perfect fit for your little one and making sure that they have the most fun, the most interesting and excelling of a time with 4-H.
And I want to say too, you know, I mentioned that 5-year-old kindergarten piece. You don't have to start in 5-year-old kindergarten. Those two young ladies that I talked about with the TikTok videos and the crochet and earring businesses, they started at 13 and 15 because that's when they were finally ready to jump in and great. You know, they found their fit. They don't have to rely on, you know, 7 years of experience to succeed in 4-H in high school. No, you can jump in because this is really self-paced, you know, and discover self, right? Yeah. Instead of, you know, sometimes we think about sports. Boy, if they don't start in that little league when they're in kindergarten, they're never going to succeed in high school. That's not the way it works in 4-H at all.
It's a great note, Laura. I appreciate you mentioning that. And we certainly want to mention as well how important it is for you to, you know, communicate with your kid, communicate with Laura, and find the right fit for them. That's certainly a great part of this. But keeping that in mind as well, I think that say you bring it up with your kid when they're 9 and they don't have the interest or maybe the focus or some of those things. You can always bring it up again in 10, 11, 12. You know, there's every kid grows and changes and evolves differently or matures differently. So it's never a bad idea for that. And I think it's also noteworthy, something you brought up earlier, for parents out there getting to live vicariously through these kids and through some of these moments and everything. I, again, wish my kids were younger just so they could do this and I could live through their sports-wise, I'm not a fan of that kind of stuff always, but with this, something like this, I encourage it. It's something that's, you know, could be really fun for the whole family because so much of 4-H is community, family. It's these things, bringing these things closer together.
Absolutely. And one of the things I want to say too is we do a lot of things at the club level, but I also offer a lot of opportunities at the county level. So there's lots of opportunities. You don't have to have a child who's like really targeted on learning that one thing. Mm-hmm. If you just have that child who's like, oh boy, I want to learn. I want to go out and have fun. Like, we're offering those opportunities too. So 4-H is not just for those kids who are single-minded and on a mission already. It's for everybody.
And you mentioned a little bit of this earlier, and I just want to touch on before we let you go, Laura. The time commitment of this is not gigantic either. Mm-hmm. It's really what you make of it. It's something that I wouldn't, not to speak for you, but I know you've mentioned before, it's not a requirement that you're at every single 4-H club meeting,
right.
But you know, certainly encouraged. And the meetings aren't necessarily, you know, all night kind of things. Right. Some events, others, you know, some may last longer than others, but it's not a gigantic time commitment either.
Right. And it's that, you know, the more you put in, the more you'll get out. Mm-hmm. So we have, you mentioned llamas earlier. So we have a countywide llama program. So if your child is interested in llamas, or we have a countywide dog program, or a countywide shooting sports program, like all of those kinds of things, those are above and beyond. They're not required. So if it's something your family is interested in, going in there and taking advantage of the opportunities, excellent. If you just want to show up for those meetings when you can, that's okay too, right? Mm-hmm. But the more often your child is in spaces, the easier it is for your child to get to know the other people who are in that space. It's easier for the friendships to build and everything. So the learning, the project learning might not be top notch, but the learning how to make friends, mm-hmm. the learning how to deal with disagreements and stuff, that stuff is going to happen, and they're going to have fun doing it.
We have amazing public schools. We have amazing mm-hmm. teachers out there, but there are certain things in certain areas that are gray areas, and there is no class for. And so yeah. many of these things and skills you can learn through 4-H.
Yeah,
Laura, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more about enrollment or the clubs or any of the great things we have talked about today, how can they reach you?
Yeah, so easiest way to reach me is either by phone or email. Our phone number in the extension office is 715-421-8439. My email is Laura, L-A-U-R-A dot Huber, H-U-B-E-R, at WISC, that's W-I-S-C, dot E-D-U. And this is a really busy time of year for all of our folks, but I will work really hard to get you in connection. And if you're interested in joining 4-H, one of the other things that I suggest doing sometimes is, you know, visiting several clubs meetings and just seeing what that fit is too. And I can absolutely help you find those clubs, find those meeting times, and connect you to the volunteers.
That's a really good idea. And you can find out more about the things we've talked about at 4h.extension.wisc.edu, 4h.extension.wisc.edu. Laura, already looking forward to the next conversation. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, James. I really appreciate it.
Keep up the great work in our community. We appreciate you.
Awesome.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you coming up at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Matt and Air on Air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we do our popcorn pick of the week with Laughing Mountain Popcorn. Greg Vadney talks this weekend's Sputnik Fest, and Ian O'Connor discusses his new book about Aaron Rodgers.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. The Todd Alba Show.
Hey, everybody, join us all this week for Todd and Phil's Just a Bit Outside Text to Win contest. Brewer tickets for a game later in September, and also two tickets to attend the VIP world premiere of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers, includes an overnight stay at a hotel and a $100 quick trip gas card. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Just a Bit Outside.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. A federal judge has accepted Hunter Biden's plea deal in his federal tax evasion trial.
President's son entered an open plea in a Los Angeles courtroom this afternoon. This came after he offered to accept what's called an Alford plea, in which he could plead guilty while also maintaining his innocence.
CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
Hunter Biden is facing up to 17 years in prison and more than $1 million in fines. His sentencing is scheduled for December 16th.
Our Erica Brown on the charges.
Prosecutors say Hunter Biden engaged in a four-year scheme to avoid paying at least $1.4 million in taxes and classified some personal luxury expenses as business deductions.
And Bradley Blackburn tells us.
The 54-year-old's defense was expected to focus on his struggles with addiction, but the judge had already placed restrictions on some of that testimony.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacy Lynn.
The Kitchen's Open on WFHR, a feature within the morning show every Monday at 9. Join me, Melissa Kay, and my guests to learn about food-related topics that will interest and entertain.
Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden came to Wisconsin today to talk about his administration's Investment in America agenda, specifically new funding for clean energy in rural parts of the country.
Covering the upfront cost of clean energy so rural families can save on their energy bills and get just a little more breathing room at the end of the month. And it means rural entrepreneurs and manufacturers who are so fundamental to our economy are powered with reliable, affordable energy.
Now, this was not a campaign stop. It was officially a visit from the White House. Still, Biden spent a lot of time laying out the differences between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. It was his first visit to Wisconsin since announcing he was stepping down from the race. He's traveling the blue wall states of Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan this week. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in